Nothing comes easy for a lot of people, and having a personal trainer is part of the journey for a lot of people. Do you want the trainer that murders fat for a living? Do you want the trainer that can't fake fitness? Do you want the trainer that can work with you? Do you need the same trainer? Should you consider changing trainers regularly? There's a lot of questions out there, and I ask them with researcher, sports scientist, Professor Dr. Chris McClellan, and industry coach Dan Conn.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. This podcast is brought to you by Hydroxy Burn Shred. Get in the fat burning zone, both physically and mentally, with this potent combination of thermogenic fat burners and mood boosting nootropic ingredients. Scientifically designed to help you reach your weight loss goals, destroy stubborn fat cells, speed metabolism, boost energy, and improve your mood. With an industry leading 4 grams of acetyl L-carnitine plus green tea extract, guarana, and hydroxy citric acid, Hydroxy Burn Shred will take your training and weight loss journey to a whole new level.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, where Dan Conn is on board and doing selfies of
just
himself.
Just some social
what's
media.
What's all about?
Yeah. Just getting the right
what's pick. Up?
Is the light good? Sitting here opposite me, Dr. Chris McClellan still possibly has one of the worst fitness industry social media accounts, but we won't go too much on
him. I've been trying to help him.
Have you really?
I have actually been trying to help him.
Helping out. Are you okay?
Like, but the cat.
You know, work in progress.
It's a work in progress.
I think, you know, what I would like is some support from Instagram family. I have a question actually. It doesn't matter. Let's go.
I know where your question was coming from because you're science based. It would have been something along the lines of likes, happiness.
No. I just see social media. I see things out there that are factually devoid of any real content. I look at that and I just want to say something, but I don't because I don't want to be
that guy.
That guy. Yeah. I don't want to be perceived as a hater. Sometimes you just think, you know what? We'll just let it go through to the
kid. Mate, what happened? Knowledge is power. Like, actually, we're here today to talk about.
But people want to know, you know what I mean? Like, because there's some really high profile people floating around some really terrible content.
Some scary stuff.
Yeah. Some scary stuff. Yeah. Mate. Like, and you know, like there was one post recently that we talked about keto shutting down the Krebs cycle. And you know what? It's irresponsible, is actually what it is. It's so far gone from what is actually correct. It's really hard to even respond to. Anyway, so.
I'm just impressed they knew what the Krebs cycle was, to be honest.
Well, they don't know what the Krebs cycle is. If they're saying the keto shuts it down.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on.
We're here today to talk about what makes a good trainer. Like, what's the importance of finding the right trainer? Dan, pick that off with you, as you are possibly one of the people that's trained more people through some of the programs that you've been involved in than anyone else in Australia.
I've trained a lot of trainers. So I guess that's where my little niche has been. The one thing I've noticed is training trainers is great, but it's more important to train the personality. And when you see the trainers go on to do what they do. They might go and work for gyms. They might go do their own thing, go online and do all sorts of crazy things online. The biggest thing is the personalities that we find in these trainers. And I've had many discussions with CEOs of companies of large franchise groups, and they're saying, how do we fix this problem? How do we get better trainers? How do we get more in-depth trainers? How do we get more engaged trainers? And it comes down to, and also, of course, member retention, which is their one big goal. And I said, it doesn't come down to the trainer, because you can teach the trainer the skill. It comes down to the personality you bring in. For example, you bring in someone that is young, bubbly, full of energy, and you teach them the fundamentals and obviously ongoing training, which is crucial in development of any trainer. And you teach them that, and you're going to have a very successful business. You could have a gym on the corner with absolutely hardly any equipment, but an absolute awesome trainer that everybody loves. It's like a coffee shop. You go to a coffee shop, they have great coffee, but the coffee guy is an absolute dickhead. So you walk 20 meters further where there's an awesome coffee bloke. The coffee's all right, but the guy, the barista.
It's experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
as Max says, it's a journey.
It is an experience. And that is the whole point of all this franchising and group training. All these things is happening. They're trying to create an experience. On Barry's Bootcamp, Orange Theory, all the big ones coming from America to Australia, F45. It's the experience they're trying to create. Because let's be honest, the training isn't that different. Like if we broke it down scientifically, the training's pretty similar. So I think for me personally, it's about trying trying to find people with personalities and teaching them how to be trainers. And that's the big thing for me moving forward, is making that a really, really prominent thing.
Yeah, and that's consistent across. If you know, I think even in the corporate sector, you hit the nail on the head, mate. I don't know what your philosophies are, Greg, with body science, but in academia and in strength conditioning and things like that, I often do the same thing. You go, I'll hire the personality, I'll hire the person, and I'll teach them what they need to know. You can't teach them some of those basic skills around rudimentary gaining rapport, communication, all these sort of things, the fundamental traits associated with client retention, which is huge. And in this country, the education process for trainers, I think people are sold on a lifestyle. They think, do something you love and you never have to work another day in your life. That old chestnut, right?
The dedication to teaching.
Yeah. And so everyone wants to, like a lot of people like exercise and health and fitness, and perhaps sold this dream that, well, I'll do a training course, I'll become a personal trainer, and, I'll be driving a Bentley, and the reality is that it's incredibly hard yards. It's small business as an individual, in the health and fitness sector. You've got to recruit clients, you've got to retain clients, you've got to do all that sort of stuff. And they're the soft skills, perhaps, that it doesn't matter if you know your anatomy and your physiology. If you can't find a client and you can't keep one, well, you're going to be out of business pretty quickly. I used to own an RTO that was set up and was approved to run Cert 3s and 4s. And I actually set that up on a platform that I was quite naively, I feel now, reviewing it, that I thought that there was a big demand for really high quality education that was delivered by very, very experienced individuals. And what I found was, invariably, people would contact me and they'd say, Mac, I already know everything I need. I just need the certificate so I can get cracking. And I'm saying, well,
hey, giddy up.
I said, well, that's great. You probably should go and do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I can't really help you if you already know everything. And so I actually wound that business up a few years ago because there's some big juggernauts in that space who do roll out trainers online, pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
Well, really quick.
Really quick.
They come into this really competitive environment where they don't necessarily have those skills that you're talking about to be able to be successful. And it's a tough one.
And I guess the hard thing is, too, that there is some that are taught face-to-face and there's some that's taught online. So there's the differentiator. How do you actually know that person has those attributes? And I think in AIF and FIA, they did a study in 2016, 2017, 38,000 people went for their Cert 3, Cert 4, and under 10% actually went on to be PTs.
Yeah,
well, I think they actually dropped out their Cert 3 and didn't finish their Cert 4. They think, okay, finish school, want to be happy, healthy, fit, own my own business, be a PT, awesome. They start doing the study and they go,
where's my clients?
Yeah. How do you market? How do you actually sell yourself to people? How do you talk to people? And these are all the things that now people are starting to catch on. Oh, we need to teach them how to actually sell themselves, how to actually find clients. Like some gyms do it and they have a set routine to do it, but the majority are still big time struggling to nail that.
And I'm not a fan of the online experience. I think, would you take your... So if you think of yourself as an individual, if you're looking for a personal trainer, your body and health and fitness is the most important thing in your world, right?
Absolutely.
So let's say, would you take your Ferrari, which is what your body is?
I don't have one, do you?
No, I don't have one either.
What color is yours?
My body is a Ferrari, 100%. Yeah. There's no question. Probably more of a Lamborghini, but semantics, Greg. Would you take your most prized possession to someone who's done a 2-minute online course on to be a mechanic? The answer is, of course not, right? So why then would I go for someone who did a 2-minute course online to become a PT and I'm going to entrust in them my health and fitness? I think the whole process is interesting because I found when I had the RTO, and you were audited by ASQA, which is the accrediting body and so forth, and they would come out and they would do an audit. And I remember I did the first audit and the person came out and all they wanted to know, they didn't want to see the content of what I was teaching. They just wanted to know, did I have the correct business structures in place, so that I didn't rip anybody off and do all that sort of thing. And I said to them, well, hang on a minute, who's going to check to make sure that when I'm teaching these people anatomy and physiology, that the content's correct?
Yeah, right.
And they went, nobody checks. So nobody does, right? Nobody checks the quality of the curriculum. The content of the courses is the Wild West. To this day, that's how it is.
So personal trainer A is not getting the same education as personal trainer B.
Not if there are two different
schools. Yep.
Do you reckon, is that same for nutrition, Macca? Like if people...
If they're doing industry courses.
Yeah, like you say, if you want to become a nutritionist, is that...
Oh, if you're doing a if you're doing anything that is VET, vocational education and training, that is delivered by a private provider, and I'm not going to name any, what is in that course is up to them.
Wow, okay. It's really interesting.
So how they do that and how they deliver that is pretty much not controlled by anybody.
There's no governing body that sort of...
No.
Wow. There
this is go. Where guruism is alive and well in the industry, where people say, I am, you know, I'm delivering this content and I'm a big deal. I'm speaking metaphorically. Come and do my course because I know lots of stuff. And I've got a big, maybe I've got a big social media following and whatever it might be. And people go, oh, well, yeah, we'll go and do that one. And then I get a lot of people, you know, and this is what, coming back to the start of this podcast, where I see stuff that is on the social media. I just go, so body fat, right? So we've done a podcast on body fat.
We
know a lot about, we've learned a lot about fat. And we know that body fat cells can multiply. We know that. We talked about that. Right, and I've seen a number of people who should know better postulating on social media that body fat cells don't expand and you can't get more of them. And I look at that and I go, this person is educated actually, and what they're putting out there is just incorrect. So we're kind of off track in terms of the trainer side of things, but buyer beware. Like with anything in life, you know, you need to some due diligence around trainers, and this is why it's a big deal for a lot of these mainstream big providers like your Anytimes and Jets and these sort of providers, because they want good trainers.
Yeah.
They want to retain good trainers. They want their trainers to be successful, and they want their trainers to retain clients. And it's a really important, and deliver a good product and good service.
Culture.
And, you know, and the tribal thing that we've talked about before. So it's a really interesting scenario around the whole education thing in this country.
Do you reckon it's been close to nailed? Do you reckon anyone's getting there yet?
I actually, and again, on my personal opinion, and I say this to people, if when they say they're going to do their cert 3 and 4, I just say go and do it anywhere.
Yeah,
they're all about the same. I think it should still be at TAFE myself. It used to be a year course at TAFE, and it still is.
Yeah. Is that right? Year course.
So person does a year course at TAFE and has the same certificate as someone does it online in 2 weeks. So how do you rationalise that? You can't. That's where I think there's a high level of variation, you know, with quality of individuals that are coming through these courses.
I hear a lot of people through social networks say, oh, how can they be a trainer? Look at them.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Like, we're now talking look versus education.
Yeah, well, I think certainly if you want to attract clients, it is important to be a good representative of what you're trying to preach.
Yep.
You know, if your thing's fat loss and you're obese, that's a tough sell. And individuals, and you know, we say don't judge a book by its cover.
Because again, it could be that that person has heaps of knowledge, is a great person, but they just don't look the part. But they'll give you an amazing session.
Yeah, and
because I asked that, but you know, is your doctor good looking?
Yeah.
You're going there for like some pretty, you know, you're going to a PT to get a training session, get pushed a bit, have a bit of accountability, have a bit of motivation. You're going to a doctor to... Yeah, we're looking at our PT to see what they look like.
You can't judge and a PT by their six-pack.
Yeah, I think we really need to pull that out because it comes down to credentials and experience and the big things that make a human. I know, Dan, what's your doctor look like?
She's good sort, man. No, but I reckon for me personally, if I can't do it, I won't make my clients do it. And if the trainers that I've trained with, and that's people that are quite elite in certain areas of different types of training, they won't let me do things that they can't do either. If I go to a trainer and they can't do what I can do, and I'm paying them money, I'd probably second guess whether that's the person for me. But if I have a great connection, and this comes back to mental health for me as well.
Yep.
If this person makes me feel better, I have a great morning with them, and I still get a sweat on, and that's all I need for my day. I don't have to get an advanced session where I need to be busted, and I love to get flogged in the morning. But if it's just a general public, and I go to my trainer, and we have a good time, good chat on the treadmill, I get my 30 minutes in for the day, and I've done my little bit, and I might be 60-year-old grandma on that treadie, then you know, different story.
Yeah, I run a lot of workshops for the industry, right?
Yep.
And so I'll often say to, and there are PTs doing the courses, and I'll say, so they're trying to, you know, at the start of the workshop, I'll talk to them about their own training. A lot of them don't train. And that is
so true.
And that might be because they're so busy working that they don't have time to train. And I understand that. The other thing is, and the other side of the coin, again, in the physique world, if you look at comp prep, right? So comp prep is competing in different categories, bikini, fitness, figure, and all
that. And people are paying big dollars for combat.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you look at how those individuals decide who they'll be prepped by, they'll be prepped by people who have probably just competed and have been successful at competing. But if you look at the really elite world, the Mr. Olympia level of the world, the Phil Heath level of the world. He's trained by a guy called Harney Rambod. I don't know if you've seen Harney, but Harney is, he's a fit, healthy guy, but he's not a bodybuilder. You know, he's an educated guy who, I don't know if he's even stood on a stage, and it doesn't even matter. But, you know, just because they don't necessarily look like a bodybuilder doesn't mean that they don't have the knowledge base to be able to do it. The other side of that coin is just because you're peeled and you look fantastic doesn't mean you know anything either. I look at a lot of people who are doing training and comp prep, and mainly in that sector, in the comp prep world, I see people who have great profiles on their Instagram. They pump out photos of their six pack. I have a bit of a philosophy around people who, if you are doing posts with your shirt off every day, in my mind, that devalues you because you're trying to sell whatever it is you're selling on the fact that you're in good shape. Now, because you're in good shape, having dealt with it, I've worked with a lot of athletes and a lot of sports for a really long time. And we've talked about, we have some mutual friends
yep.
in this group who are in great shape. I've got no idea how they got into good shape. They rolled out of bed, you know, and they got a six pack. You know what I mean? I know guys I've worked with who could walk past the weight and grow, you know. So just because you look fantastic doesn't mean you know anything. But just because you're not in the best shape of anyone you've ever seen doesn't mean you don't know anything either. So it's a tough one for the person who doesn't know, who's looking for a trainer.
Yeah, we're all about finding the right trainer.
You want to find someone you can get rapport with. And as you, like at the very start of this podcast, you want someone you can communicate with who is prepared to listen to what you need and has the ability to develop a program for you based on your needs. Whether or not that means they need to be shredded or not, or big or whatever, that matters not. But if they can articulate, okay, DC, you want to do this, I know how we can do it, and here's how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And you'll go, I'm happy with that. And that's a tough one to train people. And that's where the good PTs of the world and good strength conditioning coaches are people who can communicate, who are prepared to spend a bit of time, find out how a client ticks, what are their needs, you know, how do they get to where they are and all that sort of stuff without getting all philosophical, but to identify not only just the physical component of things, but their lifestyle and what are the hurdles in their way and,
yeah.
you know, what stopped them
yeah.
to this point or whatever it might be, because everyone's got a story. You know, if you can identify what that is, then, you know, the mentorship and the coaching element is that, you know, that one-on-one communication
yeah.
where there's some trust involved in that. And, you know, it's for a lot of people, and this is unlike me to go down this track, but it's a deeply personal experience,
yeah.
you know, particularly people who may have had eating disorders or whatever it might be. You know, there's lots of stuff going on. And so you want to be able to find someone who can communicate with and come up with a plan. And
you can really, stuff. Yeah, relate to that person. Because there is so many trainers that think, okay, I need 50 clients to do a week, and they get a punch to them as quick as they can, and, you know, their retention rate probably isn't that great. Or you could have a trainer that's got 10 clients that pay good money and they get good results, and yep. word of mouth is they'll probably just keep getting more clients.
Yeah. And there is a philosophy that, and I've worked with some people whose philosophies has been every workout's a smash up, right? They crawl out the door at the end of every workout, right? Any monkey can smash people, right? Just make them go really fast and give them no rest, right? They're going to fall off the bike eventually. There's no science in that. There's no method in that madness. Whereas, you know, identifying, you know, a well-designed program based on their needs and the whole shooting match, that's where there's some science that comes into it. And, you know, the individuals, I'm interested in the individual. If I'm in the recruitment process, the Cert 3 and 4 they're the standard, the industry standard, and that's great. And then I'm interested in what else have you done? Like, how else have you value added to your career for your personal development? And you'll find out. Like, they might have done some additional nutrition courses or whatever, you know. Yeah. They're the people that have demonstrated a willingness for lifelong learning, because I think I'm the same. I go to workshops all the time, you know, and I've been to a few, you know, and I've got a few letters after my name, and I'm still doing it, you know. Yeah. So, and I think that's because it's an evolving space in the research and that sort of thing. So,
just jumping on top of that, Mac, outside of I've done my Cert 3, Cert 4, you can do a diploma of fitness if you want. What is there really out there as ongoing education at the moment to go that next level? Yeah, what are people looking for? Like, if today we're talking about finding the right trainer, you come out of a Cert 3, Cert 4, sort of a jack of all trades, master of none, based on what you guys have pretty much said today. Like,
well, you're a generalist.
You've got the jack of all, like, you get it. You can take someone, you can train them, but, you know, that's entry level people. You know, people progress and change and want to drive forward. You know, like, if you were going to train someone now, Dan, I doubt, you know, Arnie Jack's going to go and look you up and say, can I pay you to do that? It's somebody who wants to achieve something, or you too, Mac, and yours is different. You're doing a lot more in that competing side. But what is there out that there are people should be looking for?
I guess it comes down to the trainer and what track they want to go down, I suppose. You know, if you come out and you want to be a really good group trainer, well, then that's your path. You need to upskill yourself on how to group train, how to be confident in front of a room, how to own a room.
And there's sort of courses stuff. People can do for that? There's qualifications
there is,
in that?
There is, 100% there is. And if there's, you know, S&C, if you want to go down that strength conditioning, you want to go into team atmosphere, coaching actual professional teams, and stuff like that. So there's a lot of ways you can upskill yourself and go down different paths. But I guess when you get that Cert 3, Cert 4, it's sort of like you've got your ticket and now you've got to decide as a trainer where you want to take it. Because if you sit on Cert 3, Cert 4 and you don't upskill yourself and keep evolving, you're going to be left there.
What about me as the individual that's looking, like I'm out there hunting for the right trainer because I want that accountability and I want that human touch?
Yeah, well, getting back to the courses that are out there, I would just encourage people to just do their homework, right? The internet enables us to check out people. So if you're looking for credible education and credible trainers to give you that credible education, if you go on to social media platforms and the internet and you Google them and you can't find them in this day and age, then there's a reason for that, right? That would have huge alarm bells, right? If someone doesn't have a Facebook page or an Instagram or their profile's not on their website, you can be fairly sure there's a reason for that.
Okay.
And some people go, I just hate social media. Rubbish. It's a necessary element of life. And if you want to be in business, look at me. I've got the worst Instagram in Australia, but I've got one. And if you want to find out anything about me, just Google it. Mm. It'll come up. It may not be
WBFF, cats, monster,
anything. Lifting go with heavy any shit you like. But, you know, and that's where people, the thing that, and I don't want to get on a rant, but I find people really embellish their qualifications or just falsely state that they've got stuff they haven't. And it's such a hard thing for people because how are you going to know? Mm. Right? So if you go on to the, if you look at someone's profile and they say that they're a dietitian, for example, but they don't have a degree in nutrition and dietetics, then they're not. And that's a tough one. And there's no police out there policing this. So, and this is getting back to what I said at the very start, where I look at different things and different profiles. The big one at the moment I'm seeing are people calling themselves global educators, right? What's a global educator? Here's what a global educator is. You and I wrote a workshop in the next 10 minutes. We posted on the interweb, I know.
He's gone dark web on us.
On the dark web. You put it on the website, you're immediately a global educator. But if I then go, and if I again Google. I've lost my capacity to speak. However, if I go in and have a look, so if I want to know about Daniel Kwan and I Google DC, I'm going to find out lots of stuff, right? You got profile, we got, you know, we can find stuff.
Couple of good pictures,
goes all right.
Yeah.
Not a bad sort of style of a guy. But anyway, so just buyer beware, you know, and if you go onto these websites and you can't find these trainers' profiles, then don't go there.
This is what I'm trying to allude to, because more and more people are getting into training, as you said, and how do you find that, you know, this, you guys want to do a podcast on how to find the right trainer, and it's really hard for you to tell me how to find
out about it. Yeah, I did a presentation the other day on the death of expertise.
I would love to have heard that one.
Yeah, so I actually
did they clap you off at the end or what?
Yeah, I was speaking to the converted, but you know, everyone's an expert, everyone's a specialist. And so there was a time when expertise was something that was bestowed upon an individual by their peers.
Yes.
If you look at someone's website or their Instagram and they call themselves an expert, you can be pretty sure they're not. Because if they have to tell you...
Where's like, my phone? I want to check mine.
If I have to tell you I'm an expert, I'm probably not.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would know. The reason I've come looking for you is because I know you're an expert.
Yeah.
You know, and I see this a lot where people go, oh, I'm this and that specialist in this and that. You can have a special interest in something. So in the physiotherapy world, right?
And you've got a master's of physio.
So I've got a master's degree in physio. We say that in certain areas, we have a special interest in something. Let's say, for example, women's health or whatever it might be. Physiotherapists would say, I am a physio with a special interest in topic A. I'm not a specialist in topic A. I'm a physio with a special interest in it. And that's what I reckon PTs should have to do, rather than say, I'm a specialist in body comp prep or whatever it might be, or body recomp or whatever it might be. It should be, I'm PT and I'm proud of that. And I've got a special interest in training kids. It's a very different, I know it might seem like...
Are there any websites, databases like that around actually?
Nah, not that I know of. But there's a difference between having a special interest and calling yourself a bona fide specialist.
Like what is a specialist?
Sector, right? Yeah, if you want to be a specialist in the medical sector, that's years and years of expertise and training. And that's bestowed upon you by your peers. You can't just say, I'm a sports physician without doing, you know, many, many years of you know, additional study and so forth. So, whereas in the health and fitness, you can just say, yeah, I'm a specialist in, you know, comp prep because I did a comp. I eat food. Doesn't make me a specialist on food. You know, anyway, so that's my little rant. But I think it's buyer beware and do your homework and, you know, where you can, check people out and word of mouth and ask around and, you know, I think do your homework. You're going to part with your hard-earned dollar. You want to make sure that you're getting good value for what you're paying for. for. I think we tend to be, there's too much judging the book by the cover. They go, well, that person's in great shape. They must know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
And Dan, when you walk into a gym and you're new to a gym and they recommend a PT to you, is that done on a you're next, or is that done on a basis of what you're trying to achieve?
Some gyms are you're next type thing. They have a rotational system. Some gyms now have the smarts to actually sit down, do a pre-screening test as to your goals, expectations, and they delve deeper than just the physical attributes. They want to know about your past history, some of your, you know, mental, how you're finding things at home, struggling, your work hours, all that sort of stuff. And then they'll actually suit you to a PT. Not many people do that, but that's where it will go, hopefully.
Yeah. That makes sense to do that.
Yeah, one of the things that I see in mainstream, you know, big gyms is, let's say it is a your next scenario, and let's say that doesn't gel perfectly. People are reluctant to discontinue with one trainer and go across to another. It's kind of like they don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they're probably more likely to go and join another gym.
Yeah, okay.
Than change trainers. So, I mean, I don't have all the answers for that, but there should be a process whereby it's perhaps married up according to need rather than just who's next cab off the rank.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And are people going to a gym for the facilities or for the trainer? Like, do people follow a trainer these days? You know how a barista will move on from a coffee shop and people will follow?
I personally believe they follow a trainer.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I've seen it happen many, many times, follow a trainer. If the gym's amazing, that's great. But I can tell you now, I know many people that do have good credentials and they have good credentials in very high level sort of training, and those people will follow them to the gym they go to. Even if it's outdoors at the bars at Bondi, they'll go there and train with them.
And so, I would. I mean, you would, right? If you got you know, good belief in someone, they're doing a, you know, good job and it's working for you, makes good sense.
I could actually see Macca in summer down the Bondi bar, shirts off, just training hundreds.
Just can see it happen.
Tune on his salad. It's very true. We all know that's true. But mate, that's
love salad.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's your lane, is it? You like the meat. Guys, philosophy, specialties, personality, experience, anything else, Dan, we need to look for? I mean, we've got a lot of people out there trying to walk in a gym. That's the first big step, then to get the right trainer.
I mean, it is. It's daunting to walk in there and trying to find the right trainer. The trainer has an obligation, I think, to sort of be responsible to actually go and make conversation with some of these people. These people are walking there sometimes for the first time ever. So remember that. For trainers out there, we need to educate them more and more. And we are getting better at it, but there is an obligation, responsibility as a trainer to make an effort, a conscious effort, that this person could be walking there for the first time. You've got no idea what they've been through in their life, but they're coming in there for help. That's how I see it.
Mate, is there, and I'll hit you up with this one in a second, Mac, three tips to, short answer, you've got a shit trainer. And I'm looking, we're not here to shit bag trainers, but if your trainer's doing one, two or three, you should look for another trainer. What have you got, three tips for people out there that don't know? Okay, so I'll throw a scenario out there. My trainer's on the phone while I'm doing 15 minutes of cardio. Is that a good trainer or a bad trainer?
Beat it.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get. Have you got three tips for people to consider?
If your trainer isn't...
Back is going, please don't ask me that question. I do not want to know about
if
it.
If your phone is on the trainer any time, except if they're going through maybe your criteria before you walk in and you're checking out your last session. If your trainer is talking to other people while they're
training you.
Yep. Out the door. If your trainer is spending time correcting other people, looking at other people and spending time talking to other people.
Seriously, that's not going down, is it?
No, it's not going down. And if that trainer is giving you corrections, and those corrections are pretty much the most basic of basics, and you know that already, and you're looking for something a little bit harder, and you tell them, "Could we go a little bit harder?" And they're so reluctant to actually, or could not be bothered, because you're the sixth client of the day, to actually put in a little bit more effort, then you've got to find someone that's going to be willing to put the effort in, because that little effort is what's going to be the positive of your day sometimes. So.
Yeah, I just agree. I agree.
Yes.
My 3 points are the same as DC's.
They are. Well, guys, you got to feel comfortable with your trainer. They got to keep you motivated, inspired throughout the process. They need to know about you. Anything else?
No, just like Macca inspired me when he was my trainer.
That's what it's all about.
He's still inspired.
Why?
It's about the inspiration.
There's a lot of why questions, wasn't there?
Why?
Why? Yeah. Well, he
asked why, though.
Oh, you got to ask why.
Yeah.
Ask some questions. If you ask a question, the person can't answer them.
That's a really good indicator with the wrong person.
Yeah. Maybe that's a flag.
Yeah. Like I said, mate, you need to do this better. You need to do this better. You got to keep working on this and this. And then he's on his phone.
You know,
he's on Tinder.
One of the important things I learned. Never. I can't even believe that came out. Never been on there. Don't have a profile. Don't know anything about it. But anyway, when it comes to just on the strength conditioning side of it, one of the things that I find that I overwhelmingly people appreciate, Wayne Bennett, famous coach, right? I remember I saw Wayne Bennett speak at a function some time ago. And he said, never Never ignore reality and don't avoid brutality, right? And that sort of sat with me.
Yeah, nice.
Don't kid yourself about where you are in your world, right? And don't avoid having direct conversations. So one of the things that I find players, athletes, clients appreciate is honesty. And it might be, don't kid yourself, right? You got work to do. And you know what? You're not going to play State of Origin or whatever it might be, you know, like, or you're not going to win the Mr. Olympia or whatever it might be. Don't avoid those direct conversations. I don't mean be brutal and demean people. What I mean is people like truth. They like, you know, to know that you have their best interests in heart and you're not going to lie to them. And it's huge, I find, with athletes.
100%.
And you know, I think about some of the toughest people that ever coached me or that ever educated me or whatever it might be. The ones that I respected the most are the ones that were just, here's how it is, not going to sugarcoat it, and this is the reality of life.
Yep.
And that's how I operate with everything. You know, I think, and it's always been really effective.
Call a spade a spade.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
Happy days.
Well, guys, that's the importance of finding the right trainer. I hope that was helpful. I got a lot out of that, actually. That was good.
Thanks, Greg.
That's it from Body Science HQ, the home of Fit, Happy, Healthy. You've had Dan Conn and Dr. Mac on. You lucky people. Enjoy.
See ya.
Hey everyone, I'm here with Harriet and we are very excited to bring you the 10-week refresh program brought to you by Body Science with ASN. And if you haven't jumped on board yet, you need to jump on board right now because we are here to change some lives. Harriet, she's got some pretty good ideas with food. Harriet, what are you going to do for us?
So across the 10 weeks, we not only have some fantastic dietitian designed programs, but I'm going to be covering the Facebook Live topics, all different kinds of topics that will help you organize your nutrition, dial in your nutrition for performance and get the most out of your everyday eating plans.
Beautiful. And I'm going to be there helping every step of the way when it comes to your physical components. That's training, whether you have a gym, whether you don't have a gym, and also the mental health that comes with that. So we get moving, we get our brain active, we get happier, we get healthier, we make changes.
So what we're going to do is we are going to drop a link below so you can find out the registration details, or if you want, you can jump on Google and look up the ASN Lifestyle Refresh. Pretty easy, guys. Get amongst it. You will not regret this.
It's on.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.